How great is that, church? How great is it that we get to worship in this place on Sunday together and just sing glory unto the King. Good afternoon. You may be seated. Unless you want to stand during the entire time, I'm okay with that. That's your call. How are you guys doing? Good. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I see a lot of new faces. My name is Josh. Hi, Josh. Hi, guys. I know a lot of you are probably new, fresh from Indonesia, I'm guessing, going to school here. But I go to the San Ramon branch, which is not too far from here, but every now and then I get the privilege and honor to be with you guys here on Sunday. Tell your neighbor you look beautiful. Say it with a smile. Don't lie. Don't lie. Say it with a smile. It's good, right? Who was here with us last week? A couple of y'all? Yeah? Who remembers what Pastor talked about? Oh, that's a tougher question. Y'all didn't think you're going to get quizzed today, huh? What was talked? Church. Yeah, church was talked. What about church? What? I can't hear. I'm sorry. It's like some mumbling out there. Eating. Who remembers eating? That was a component of it, right? Eating. Eating meat. Remember from Acts 2, 46? Remember we talk about what? Meeting. Eating. Learning. Praise. Pray. Serve. Learn. Yeah, learning. All of that. Who remembers that? It was good, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to dive a little deeper into some of those topics of what makes our church. And this week and next week, we're going to focus more on the Acts 2:46. It says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in the home for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Today, we're going to focus on eating. I'm just kidding. How would that be for church? We're going to focus on eating. No, we're going to focus on praise and worship. Wouldn't that be cool? I just brought like a whole like tray of food out here, and then we just eat together. Wouldn't that be fun for Sunday service? Yes, I know. Okay, next week. Next week, we're going to do that. Pastor, next week. Okay. So we're going to focus on the power and purpose of praise and worship. Before we dig in a little deeper, I just want to take a quick 1 second to just pray over the word that we're going to speak. Father, we thank you so much for gathering us in this place that we can just come together and worship and bring glory and honor and shout your praises unto you, for you're so worthy, you are so deserving of it. We thank you so much. We just want to pray that you open our hearts, you open our minds, you open our ears, that we can hear what you're speaking to us today, that your spirit can just tug on our hearts and give us that new word today, Father. We thank you so much, and we just want to dedicate this service into your hands. In your name we all pray. Amen. Amen. So, praise and worship. I'm sure you are somewhat familiar with praise and worship. We just had praise and worship, right? Now, who knows, is there a difference between praise and worship? Yes? No? Maybe? No? Yes? What is the difference? Let me ask that. You guys can talk back. If you don't know, it's okay to talk in church, but only if I'm asking you. So if I'm asking you to, you can feel free to shout stuff. What's the difference between praise and worship? Praise, you clap. Yeah, I know. Praise, you clap. Worship, you lift your hands. That's about it, right? Fast song, slow song. That's the only difference between praise and worship. Yeah? No? No? Okay. How about I give you a definition then if you don't really want to answer? So when I was looking through the Bible, what I found here is the definition of praise. Praise is an act of worship or acknowledgement by acknowledging the virtues or deeds of another person or entity. Praise is giving glory and honor to God. Here's the lowdown. Praise is when we talk about God. So let's say we declare, God, you are good. God, you are great. God, you are faithful in the times that I need you most. So when we talk about him, that is what praise is. Tell your neighbor, God is good. So you know how preachers like to tell you to say something after them? Do you know why they do that? I just learned, well, at least in my mind, I like that because then it makes sure you're not asleep. You just said something. You're awake. And it keeps you focused somewhat to what I'm talking about. So praise, you guys get it? Praise is kind of when we talk about God, when we declare his goodness, we speak about him, about his characteristics, his virtues, and we acknowledge who he is. Now worship, worship's a little different. Worship is when you go from talking about God to talking to God. It's more direct. It's more like, God, I'm talking to you. It's when you give him the praise and you tell him how thankful you are for the doors and victories he's given to you. It's when you directly commune with him. I see worship more as it comes from the depths of our spirit as we want to commune and talk with him, and you want to be together with him and just lift him up in that way. When we surrender ourselves unto him and give all the glory and honor unto him. That is to me kind of a little more essence of what worship, I feel, if I had to distinguish between praise and worship. Praise is you just thank him. Yes, God, you speak about him. But then worship is when you talk to God. So there is a little bit of overlap in that. I know you can tell. There's a little, like, praise can be a part of worship. But worship goes a little deeper. And with that cliffhanger, I'm gonna transition to say that this week, I'm mainly going to focus on praise. Next week, we're going to talk hopefully more about worship. So you better come next week too. See, that's a good transition. So you guys come both weeks. Isn't that great? Yeah, because I know you love being here on Sunday, because I love being here. When else do we get to come together and just sing, get together, hear the greatest guy speaking about Jesus? It's just, that's Pastor, it's not me. So that's Pastor, the greatest guy speaking about Jesus. And just give glory and honor unto him, right? All right, so, did I not turn it on? Hold on. I didn't turn it on. All right, there we go. Oh, there we go. Cool. First point, praise. So we're going to talk about, like, what is the purpose of why we have praise and worship, and then we'll talk about the power of praise and worship. First one is, praise is for God's pleasure. So we're going to read from Revelation 4:11. The first one, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. That's from the New King James Version. I put both versions because I like the way it's worded a little clearer in the King James Version. So we're going to read it here. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. It says right there, for thy pleasure, they are and were created. So, they, that's us, and created, and then we were created for God's pleasure. So, we are here because we are to bring pleasure unto God. Isn't that great that you have a purpose? You want to bring praise and honor unto God. Next, we praise God because he is worthy. In Psalm 18:3, it says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Now, I don't think there's anyone else, hopefully there's no one else that is as worthy to be praised and given worship to as God is, because he's the only one who is worthy to be praised. And it says that right there in Psalm 18:3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. He inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22:3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. What that means is when we give praise, when we worship, when we sing how good he is, when we declare how good he is, that God is here amongst us. That God is here in your times of at home, like, oh, God, you are so good. Thank you. Like, God inhabits. He lives in our praises. And when we come together as a people, when we come together as a community, as a family, as a body, it's so much greater. That there's so much more, like, he is so much more present in this place when we come together. And that's one of the beauties and the things of why I love to be at church and come together and we get to praise and worship together. We praise God, another one, because he has done mighty acts. Psalm 152 says, praise him for his mighty acts. So I want you to pause with me here for a moment and think, has God done anything in your life recently or before that you would deem as a mighty act, something that you know you can't do by yourself or something you couldn't have accomplished by yourself. I was on the way here, my wife was telling me, you should try to include an example here. So I had to think. She's like, I know you have a lot of examples, but you should think. So I was thinking on the way here, sorry, English, first language, hard. I was thinking on the way here, like, what is one of the bigger mighty acts? I'm not sure if I shared this story, but I think it was how old am I now? I'm not going to tell you my age. Maybe 5 years ago, in 2013 or 12, 6 years ago, there was a group of us, and we were, this is when I used to live in LA. We were going, I got a rental car because my other car got hit and got sideswiped, and so I got a rental car. And then, so it was pretty cool because the first rental car they gave me was a PT Cruiser. All the chicks dig PT Cruisers. They're like the total, no, I'm just kidding. That's the total opposite of chick magnet. It's like one of the lamest cars. But when they gave me that car, and so I was driving it for like a week, and the brakes just started squealing, like making a lot of noise. And I decided, I'm going to take it back to the rental shop so they can give me a new car. And then, now, they gave me a convertible after that because there was no other cars they could give me. Well, that's an upgrade. That's the car chicks dig. So they gave me a convertible. And then, you know, I'm in college, and so a couple of us, we were like, hey, Josh is a convertible. Let's go to the beach. I was like, yes, let's go to the beach. So we went to the beach together, and we decided to just hang out there for the day. We just chill and just basically whatever you do at the beach when you're in college, you just hang out, you eat, you jump in the water. Well, actually, no, up here you don't jump in the water, huh, in the beach. It's too cold. In LA, you can jump in the water. The water's warm. So we go in the water, we hang out, and then we're going home. I dropped off two people. We had four of us in the car. I dropped off two of them, and we were driving home, and it's maybe around midnight, and we're just driving. We're about to go on the freeway. I just filled up the gas, and then as I was crossing the intersection, you know, here coming intersection, I was crossing, I saw a car from the corner of my eye on the right side. It looked like he was kind of going to try to shoot for a right turn. As soon as I slowly brake a bit, bang, and then the bang was there was a car on the left side that I scared y'all, I know I did. There was a car on the left side that I didn't see that it had a red light, and it hit my car, and we were going probably 50 or so, they were going about 60. And so my car, I hit his side, and his car like did a full like 180 flip to the other side. My car windshield was totally destroyed, the front was basically squashed in, and yeah. And the beauty, not the beauty, but the reason I tell you this story, so I know for a fact that this was the hand of God, because if I didn't see I didn't look at the left side because I didn't even see that car. He was like zooming. If I didn't see the car on the right go for a slight stop, I would not have braked. And he was in an SUV. I was in like an American-made convertible. He would have totally slammed into my driver's side, and who knows what may happen there. And the best part of it as well was the guy in the car on the right who was about to turn, he saw the whole thing and he stopped and he saw what happened and he just kind of came and he checked everyone. I found that he was a pastor, which is kind of cool. And he was like, are you guys okay? Do you need help with anything? And he even, it's like, you know what, I'll wait for the police to come so I can give my witness account of what happened and everything. So I just think back, like that was God's hand covering. And it's just his, like, there's no other way. I think about it, like, I'm not going to break normally. You're just going home, and suddenly there's a little car on the right, and it's, like, empty. There's, like, no other cars, and he looked like he was going to turn, so I braked a little bit, and then as soon as I braked, the car on the left, like, rammed into us. And so I just thank God, because that is by his mighty hand, that I'm still here, that I can speak to y'all, I can have a wife. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Yeah, men, praise the Lord, for he is good when he gives us wives. Oh, I thought the woman would say amen to that, but okay. Amen. So, he has done mighty acts. Everyone here must have something that they can remember that God has done a mighty act in life, that you know that it was God who did those things. The next one is, praise God because he called us out of darkness into the light. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We praise God because he is the one who saved us. He is the one who brought us out of eternal condemnation. He is the one who brought us out of what would be eternal darkness. He brought us into the light by giving us his son, Jesus. Before we go into the next part, which is we're going to talk about the power of praise and worship, we're going to just quick recap. So we praise God, one, because it is, we praise God because it is for, we are created for his pleasure. And then we praise God because, one, he is worthy to be praised. Two, he inhabits the praises of his people. Three, because he has done mighty acts. Four, because God has called us out of darkness into the light. I'm going to share a little quick, actually this is just today, testimony, real quickly. And I want to be real with you guys, so I want to share the things that happened in my mind. Most of the things that happened in my mind, I'll share with you. But earlier today in our first service, I was just very distraught. I just felt like, oh, what am I going to talk about today? I felt like what I'm going to speak is not going to be any effect. What I speak won't be good. What I speak will not have any influence, whatever. It'll just be dry. I'm not prepared. Who am I to talk? And it was just really bugging me. For some reason today, it was kind of just really strong and really in my mind. And this was during the praise and worship. And I just decided that I was like, God, I'm just going to close my eyes and I'm just going to declare how good you are. Because I'm thinking, I'm going to talk about praise and worship, and I'm here kind of in the midst of, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And there's just a lot of, I felt the enemy was just really trying to bring me down. And so I just stopped in the middle of worship and I just started declaring, God, you are so good. God, you are so great. God, that whatever I do, whatever I say, it is your word. It is not me, it is you. It's coming from you. It is for you, that all things, that you are still good, that you still rule over all, that no matter what happens, no matter how I feel, no matter what I feel I'm not good enough, that God, you are still good. God, you are still great. And I share this to you because when you lift these things up, when you say these, when you lift praise unto him, it restores your understanding to the right order. What that is it brings the focus off of our circumstances, off of our environment, off of what's around us, and puts it back where it matters. And that matters is that God is still king. God is still in control of everything around us. God has still control of what we're going to do, of where we are, of the last test you totally bombed. God is in still control. And when we can say these things, when you can force your body, your soul to praise him, it puts things back into the right order. I know it's hard sometimes, especially when you are totally down, like the devil's just got you beat, you feel depressed, you feel you're not good enough, you feel you messed up. But when we say, when we acknowledge that God is king, God is ruler, God is Lord, that the praise you give, it restores that, you know, whatever, it is what it is. God is still king. God will still be here yesterday, today, and forever. And that we don't have to worry about those things. I feel my grandma is also a great example of this. If you guys have ever met grandma, she's like your typical grandma who loves to pray, who loves to like, how are you doing? Did you eat, Josh? And all that kind of stuff. And she's also, if you have older people, you probably know they're not the most technologically advanced beings out there. Who's had to try to teach their grandma or something like how to use their cell phone? That's a struggle, right? I've had to do that a lot, like all the time. But she's kind of cool. She can use WhatsApp. She'll send me a video every single day of I don't know what. It's like, you know that when more seasoned people are on, like, they'll send you videos, they'll send you pictures of, I don't think she even watches the videos. I think she just forwards it to me. And you get that all the time. But my grandma's cool. And she has a cell phone and she's got the WhatsApp. And I love her for this because there is so like Brian, I said, it's hard to explain technology to older people. And so her cell phone one day stopped charging, or she tried to charge it and it wouldn't stop charging. And she's like, Josh, can you come help fix it? I was like, okay, let me take a look. And I tried it, and like, it's just not working, Grandma. It doesn't work. I look at the phone, I look at the bottom of the phone, and I'm like, oh, the charging piece in there is just like totally wrecked. Like it's bent, and the wire thingies are just all over the place. And I'm like, yeah, Grandma, we just have to get you a new phone. And she's like, oh, okay. But my grandma is the type, like I saw this. As soon as I said this, I walked away. She's like, she took her phone, and she's like, thank you, Jesus. And she just started lifting her hand and praying on the phone and being like, yeah, God, you are still good, and you are still great. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness, Grandma, what are you doing? This is your cell phone. We just got to buy you a new cell phone. But, and I felt, and the greatest part of this is, later she's like, Josh, my phone started charging. I'm like, shut up, no way, Grandma. I didn't say that to her, but in my mind, I thought that because I looked at it. I'm like, dude, the charging port is destroyed. And somehow it works. I was totally freaked out because I was like, wow. I'm like, I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't believe. And like, I just admire my grandma because stuff like that. I have a lot of stories of just random grandma goodness where she just, like, she's a great example. Her level of faith and she's always giving praise and glory unto God, like, no matter her circumstance and her life, she just lives that. One day I'll get there and I'm old and I can't understand cell phones and technology and it's great. But my grandma's a grandma because she just praises, she gives glory to God and she doesn't care. She's like, it's good. God is still good. And because of that, you know, her praise, her constant, it just changes the way things work. So like, it allows God to come in and operate and do his thing. And when we give these praises, in here it says Acts 16:25-26, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. That's my earthquake sound effect. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosened. When we have the ability, as we give praise, and no matter our circumstance, no matter our place, if we give praise unto God, things can happen. Things in the spiritual realm happen, and things that we can't see, things that we can't process, they begin to take place. Because you're forcing your soul, no matter how down you are, or no matter how bad your circumstances are, no matter how crappy you feel, if you can still give glory and praise unto God, God listens and he changes the atmosphere around you. Have you ever had a really bad day, or like you just totally failed that midterm, you're going to drop that class, but you can still say to God, even though my circumstances are bad, but God, you are still good. God, you are still great. God, you still love us. When you say those things, it changes around you. It changes the atmosphere. It changes your mood. It changes how you feel. When you can say those good things, it's hard to get that first, it's like force, like, thank you. You're kind of resisting. But as you declare these things, like, thank you, Lord, you are good. God, you are great. As you declare his praises, your atmosphere, the climate around you changes. And people can see that. Your friend will be like, dude, you just bombed that test. Why are you happy? It's like, well, I bombed it, but God is still good. God is still great. And that will change your atmosphere and give you ways to even connect to other people, give you ways to be a light and to spark that conversation. Don't forget, praise him. Praise him. Praise invites the presence of God. I'm going to read to you these long words. Bear with me in the story. Verse 11, 2 Chronicles 5:11. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also, the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. So the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. What I really want to key in here is, the story sets up, the Israelites were gathered, and the Levites were there, and the priests came, and they were going to sing and bring glory unto God, and they started praising and worship and declaring how good and God and great and God is. And as they did that, the presence and glory of God just fell upon the place, and it sat there. And it sat there to the point where the people, the priests, could not even stand. They couldn't even move. They just fell in the glory and awe of God. Now, for me, I think if I ever came to church and everyone's just praising and worshiping and flat on their face on the ground here, I would love it, because then I wouldn't have to say anything. I wouldn't have to preach. God is already filled in this place. God has met his people when we can give praise and worship unto God. I think that's one of the things I would love to see one day, is that we come into church and I don't even have to say anything. And God is just so filled in the place that the praise and worship that we echo unto him is just so honored, so heartfelt, and that his presence just comes and fills this place. That's my dream one day, that'll happen. And I believe that'll happen, maybe not my lifetime, but it'll happen, where we're already worshiping, we're already giving glory, we're already honoring God, we're praising him on our way here. By the time we get in, boom, it's done. Atmosphere is set. The church just lined with people, all just castrated on the floor and worshiping God. That is, to me, one of, like, I want to see that happen. I hope you guys want to see something like that happen too. Wouldn't that be great? As we're progressing towards the close, I want to ask the musicians to come up with me real quick. We're going to do what I like to call practical application, because what good is the word if we don't practically apply it into our life? Right, church? Yes, amen. So bear with me. I'm told that I'm maybe a little too, what's the word? I like you to talk back to me, and maybe in Asian churches it's a little hard for you to speak out loud, so please try to bear with me and follow along. I'm going to ask everyone to stand up. What we're going to do is we're going to put into practice declaring praises and glory and honor unto the Lord. We're gonna shout, as it says in the Bible, to shout and make a joyful noise. We're going to declare his praises, and we're going to see how that changes our atmosphere. I want everyone to close their eyes real quick. I'm just going to speak to the story of Jericho. As the Israelites, as Joshua, that's my name, as the Israelites, they were faced that God had given them a promised land already. God had told them, "We are going to go there. That is the land that I have entrusted to you." But for them to get there, they had to go through Jericho. And what they did was they marched around Jericho day after day, day after day. And they just sang and they gave glory and they blew their trumpets. They made a loud noise. They brought praises unto the Lord. And Jericho came down. Think of the promises that God has given to you. Think of the promises and the promised land that he's given to you that you know are belonging to you. Whether that is like, "I know, Lord, you promised me to have a success in my college. God, I know you promised me to bless me and to walk through with me through these downtimes at work, through these downtimes in my finances, that these downtimes in will I make the next month's rent." But what we're going to do, we're going to declare that God is good. Sing his praises and declare with your mouth that the Lord is great, that God, you are King. Lord, you are Lord of all. Say what you know and declare his praises are. As we say this, this is how we bring the walls of Jericho down. You declare the praises and you bring Jericho down into the promised land that the Lord has told that he'll give you. Let's just all say this together. I want you to declare that, Lord, you are good. Lord, you are great. Lord, you are mighty in this place. Speak with your own mouth right now. Declare the Lord. Praise him for how great he is so that you hear your own voice over my voice. You shouldn't hear my voice. You should hear your voice declaring, God, you are good. God, you are great. Lord, you are the Lord of my life, that there is no circumstance that can stand between what I have and what you promised, because God, you are great. God, we sing your praises, that you are the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are mighty. You are the Father, the King of Christ who sent us. Declare with your own mouth of how great his praises are. Lord, you brought me through circumstances that were horrible, and you took me to where I am today. You've blessed me to where I can live. I can eat another day, Father. We thank you. We sing your praises, for you are good. That may feel weird, but say your praises out loud. As you declare the praises, That's when God is lifted high. That's when you change the atmosphere around you. That's when you can change your environment. When you declare and you sing these praises and you acknowledge that how great he is, no matter the circumstance you are in today, no matter the circumstance that you stand in, that you feel you can't overcome, you declare how great he is, you declare how magnificent, how marvelous, and God will take you through it. He will change the atmosphere around you. It could be as simple as my grandma's phone charger not working. She'll still thank the Lord and say, he is great, he is good. But to you, what is that Jericho standing before you? Let's just sing this last song, this last praise song. We're just going to give praise, and we're going to sing it out unto God, because he is worthy, right? He is worthy of our praise.